But I would like to make a quick case. Why the resurrection? Why the resurrection? Rod, you have to really be helping me now. Why the resurrection and why I believe it really happened. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Why? Without the resurrection, which was and is the what? Proof that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice. There would be no basis for the forgiveness of our sins. We would have no hope after death. We'd be forever separated from God for all eternity if this didn't happen. And it gets worse because we'd be in a place called what? Hell. Okay? Without the resurrection, there would be no gospel, no good news message for people like me to preach. Okay? Wouldn't be happening. Worse than that, Jesus would be a what? A liar. Because he said he would rise again. He placed it all on that. I'll be crucified. They'll kill me. And I will, the third day, do what? Rise again. That's just not something everybody says. You understand? And so he would be a liar. And also, if it didn't happen, I don't think we could believe anything in all of the Bible. Y'all hear me or not? Why y'all make such a big deal about the resurrection? Because it's everything. Resurrection is everything. 1 Corinthians 15:19, would you say it with me out loud? Certain verses you ought to memorize in the Bible. This is a good one. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What does that mean? That means if this is just some dream, some pipe dream, if that's all there is, if there is no heaven, if there is no eternity, if there is no everlasting life, then we're all men most what? Miserable. Absolutely. So why the resurrection and why I believe it really happened? And we're going to roll it. Here we go, buddy. Let's make the case a little bit. Fact number one. Fact number one. Y'all listening? Are y'all with me or not? Do I have to scream at you? Fact number one, Jesus was dead. Jesus was dead. Let's read some scripture. You're going to have a resurrection, you got to have a dead body. If you're going to have a crime, you got to have a dead body. Where's the body? Well, they're missing. Oh, no. There has to be a body. Okay? Or some proof that there was a body. So he was dead. From the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you what? Forsaken me. Some of them that stood there, when they heard this, they said, this man calls for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to Jesus to drink. He's on the cross, crucified. Let us see whether Elijah will come and save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, say it with me, he yielded up the ghost. Let's read another scripture over here. Now when the centurion, and they that were with him watching Jesus, they saw the earthquake, all kinds of things happening, earthquake, temple shaking, the veil in the temple's rent in two. And those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Others stood by the cross. Another scripture, Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary and the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, another scripture whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold your son. Then said he to his disciple, behold thy mother. Said that to John. And from that hour on, that disciple took her unto his home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all these things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said what? I thirst. Just another scripture. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, say it with me, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and there's that word again, he gave up the what? Go, give the ghost. So fact number one, Jesus was dead. Then came the soldiers, they broke the legs of the first. There were two thieves, one on either side, that were crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, say it with me, and they saw that he was dead, what? Already. They didn't break his legs. Have a resurrection, you've got to have a dead body. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And out came blood and water out of his side. Fact one. Say it out loud. Got that? Jesus was dead. Now, I've used this guy before because I'm from Rockingham. And I usually like to preach my own messages, but every once in a while, I got to get me some help. So I went with me some help. If I was making a court case, I'd call this doctor for a witness. Dr. Mitherall, can you help us? Yes, I can. Here's what he said. Once a person's hanging in the vertical position, the crucifixion is essentially an agonizing slow death of asphyxiation. The reason is that the stresses on the muscle and diaphragm put the chest into an inhaled position. We're talking about, was Jesus dead? Basically, in order to exhale, the individual must push up on his feet so the tensions on the muscles would be eased for a moment. In doing so, the nail would tear through the foot, eventually locking up against the tarsal bones. After managing to exhale, the person would then be able to relax down, if that's possible, and take another breath in. Y'all hearing a doctor or not? Again, he'd have to push himself up to exhale, scraping his bloody back against the coarse wood of the cross. This would go on and on until complete exhaustion would take over, and the person wouldn't be able to push up and breathe anymore. As he slows down his breathing, he goes into what's called respiratory acidosis. That's why I needed the doctor, because I don't know this stuff. The carbon monoxide in the blood is dissolved as carbon acid, causing the acidity of the blood to increase. This eventually leads to an irregular heartbeat. In fact, with his heart beating erratically, Jesus would have known that he was at the moment of his death, that's when he would be able to say, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. Y'all hearing me? He would have then died of what? Say it out loud. You can't have a resurrection unless you have a dead body. The doctor's telling us he would have died of cardiac arrest. Even before he died, and this is important, the hypovolemic shock would have caused a sustained rapid heart rate that would have contributed to heart failure. As a result, a collection of fluid would form in the membrane around the heart, pericardial effusion, as well as around the lungs, pleural effusion. The doctor says, why is this significant, you might ask? Tell us, doc. Because of what happened when the Roman soldier came around. And being fairly certain that Jesus was dead, they said he was dead, right? Didn't break his legs. But they confirmed it, say it with me, by doing what? Thrusting a what? Spear into his right side. The spear apparently went through the right lung into the heart. So when the spear was pulled out, some fluid, the pericardial and pleural effusions came out. This would have the appearance, say it with me, of what? Clear fluid, keep going, like what? Water, followed by a large volume of what? Is that what the Bible said? This is a doctor talking. As eyewitnesses John described in his gospel. Would you say this pretty out loud right now? There was absolutely no doubt that Jesus was dead. Okay, so. The fact of the resurrection. Fact one, I made the case. It's what the Bible said. It's what witnesses said. It's what a modern day doctor describes exactly what would have happened. So he was dead. Fact number two, the tomb was what? Now I got a fly right here. The tomb was empty. Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn on the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning. His raiment was white as snow.
For fear of him, the keepers did shake. I'd say so. And they became as what? Dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not. For I know you seek God. For I know you seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here. He is what? Risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord had lain. And go quickly, tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. Behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, for I've told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and they worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Boy, that would have been something. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye his disciples came by night and stole the body. So they're trying to pay the soldiers off. They did. If this come to the governor's ears, we'll persuade him and secure you. We'll take care of you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported upon the Jews until this day. And this was written 2,000 years ago. So fact number two, the tomb was what? According to the scriptures. But let's just look a little bit more. Let's look a little bit more. The tomb was empty. Nobody challenged the empty tomb. It's not in the Bible. I'm going to tell you something right now. If somebody said they raised from the dead, the first thing I'm doing is checking the tomb. How many are like me? It's funny how people just believe stuff. You know, oh, so-and-so did such and so. I'd be like, hush your mouth. We're going. Get in the car. Nobody challenged the empty tomb. And it wasn't like it was a million miles away. It was like a corner of a rotunda west in Placida Road up here. It ain't that hard to find it. It wasn't in another country. It was right there, all happening in Jerusalem. Christians and Jews knew its location. They knew it could be easily checked out by skeptics. No problem. Roman authorities and Jewish leaders never claimed the tomb still contained the body. Nobody said, we went there and the body's still there. So, why the resurrection and why I believe it? Why I believe it really happened? Keep looking. Fact three. So the tomb was empty. So, I've got a dead body. I've got an empty tomb. And there was a lot of people that needed a body in that tomb, didn't they? And they didn't have one. They got a problem. Problem gets worse for them. Jesus was what? Fact number three. Say it out loud. Jesus was what? He was seen what? He was seen alive. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received and where you stand, by which you are also saved, and keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which also I received, Paul writing, how that Christ died for our sins according to the what? Scriptures. And he was what? Buried. And he did what? Rose again. The what day? According to the scriptures. He was seen, now wait a minute, of Peter. That's Peter right there. Of the 12. Couple of different times. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at one time. Talking about Jesus being seen alive. Look at what Paul says. Of whom the greater part are still alive. There's a few of them that's died, but go ask them. This is Paul writing. He didn't write this 400 years later. He wrote it right there after it. After that, he was seen of James, who, by the way, was a skeptic, agnostic, an unbeliever. He was seen of all the apostles. And last of all, Paul said he was seen of who? Me. Where did Paul see him? On the road what? To Damascus. See, you know your Bible. So, he was seen alive. He was seen alive. This didn't develop over years of myth as mythology. Usually things like this take years and years and years and years. You know, 100 years, 200 years, and they believe in some ancient. No. This happened right away. Not enough time for mythology to corrupt the actual historical record of Jesus. You understand? Yes or no? From the beginning, his resurrection was the church's what? Central what? Proclamation. Since the very start, the resurrection has been everything. And if it's not everything at a church you go to and they teach something else, they're teaching a false gospel. You hear me? 1 Corinthians 15 named specific individuals that encountered the risen Christ. We just read them, some of them. Paul challenges the readers of his Corinthian letter to talk to these people. The book of Acts includes many affirmations of Jesus' resurrection in the book of Acts as well. The four Gospels describe numerous encounters in what? Great detail. Just laying out some facts for you. The appearance of Jesus to others after his crucifixion are well authenticated as anything else in all what? Antiquity. You might say, you don't believe in that resurrection, do you, Gary? Well, I'd be a fool not to. The facts are the facts. Additional supporting facts. The disciples were in a unique position to know if the resurrection really happened. They were the ones that really were the ones we need to listen to. Nobody willingly dies for a lie. They all went to their death. And it wasn't because of something that didn't happen. Matter of fact, when Jesus was murdered, brutally murdered, they thought they were going to be next. Peter starts doing what? Denying that he even knew him. Yes? That's normal. They think they're going to be hunted down like dogs and killed. Apart from the resurrection, there's no good reasons why skeptics like Paul, James, and Jude, Paul was a killer of Christians. There's no reason for me to believe in the risen Savior if I didn't see him on the road to Damascus. You understand? And we get 13 books of the New Testament written from the Apostle Paul. And James and Jude would have not been converted, okay? And they would both eventually do what for the faith? Die for the faith. Within 3 weeks of the crucifixion, thousands of Jews began abandoning key social and religious practices that they had held as extreme priority for centuries. One of them was this. They started meeting on Sunday, the Lord's Day. Okay? People ask about the Sabbath. Jesus fulfilled the law. We're following in a long train of believers since his resurrection that meet on a Sunday morning. Do you understand? I'm not against Saturday. None of that. I like you meeting anytime you can. But this is a tradition. The earliest ordinance of communion and baptism. Both of those things that's practiced in the church, both of those things confirm the what? Resurrection. Buried with him in his death. Raised to what? Walk in newness of life. This is my bread, body broken for you. This cup is the New Testament in my what? Blood. See? From the very beginning. The miraculous emergence of the church in the face of brutal Roman persecution. They didn't start this on a beach in Florida somewhere. This was in the face of Roman persecution. And they would crucify your butt. And they did. Many Christians, Nero lit them up as torches. He would tie them to poles and light his city with it. The stench of burning believers in his city. The resurrection is not to be toyed with. It's to be believed. Y'all hear me? Just making the case. I got to close my case now. So with all this evidence, how would I address the judge if I took this case to court? Your Honor. Puppy dog begging before a judge. Remember that one? Yeah. You got to remember. That's another story for another day. Commandment number 5. Your Honor, it requires more faith of me to believe that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross and did not resurrect from the dead than it does for me to believe the facts. So, Your Honor, I rest my case. Let's thank the Lord for His Word today. That's what I believe, baby. Come on. Praise the Lord. Come on. Amen. Come on. Get up on your feet.